morning. I'm going to look at various scriptures, so there's no particular one that you can turn to. But Thanksgiving is a powerful thing. Not the day Thanksgiving, but our attitude of Thanksgiving is a powerful thing. Our attitude of gratitude. Research has shown us that the healthiest people that live are people with thankful hearts. That thankfulness is a stress reliever. Thankfulness even has the power to keep us more healthy. That for some reason, that good attitude, that thankful attitude has even a physical effect on our bodies. Some researchers have shown that thankfulness even helps you live longer because there's less stress, there's less anxiety, there's more cheerfulness, there's more upbeatness in our lives. That when you're thankful, you live happier and more healthy. You say, well, that's all great, Pastor. You know, I came here to think about God. Well, you know what? It was God's idea that we be thankful. Here's what the scripture says. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God knows all the benefits of Thanksgiving. It's not just some self-help idea. It's not just some psychological, you know, banter. It's God's idea that we be thankful people, because not only does he know that it's wonderful to share that, but it's good for us as well. And it raises each other in the eyes of one another as we share thankfulness with one another and as we thank God. So this morning, I want to share with you three things. In your outlines, if you have your programs, the outline notes are inside. And if you take the time to open those up, you can follow along with me. I want to talk this morning about three areas. Why do we give thanks? What should we give thanks for? And then how to say it. Okay? Why should we show appreciation or thanksgiving? What are the things we should express thanksgiving for? And then how to show it. First of all, and I think I'm, there we go. Thanks, Teresa. Why should I say thanks to others? Why should we do this in the first place? The reason for expressing thanksgiving is found in the meaning of the word appreciation. Appreciation means to raise the value of. Now, for those of you that have purchased homes in Silicon Valley, maybe 20 years ago, maybe some of you have owned homes longer than that, you understand the value of appreciation, don't you? Isn't it amazing that I've talked to some of our neighbors that have lived in our neighborhood for 20, 30, 40, even longer years, and to find out what they paid for their home back then. Some of them paid $25,000 or $35,000 for a home that is now well over $1 million. That's appreciation. How many like that kind of appreciation? I do too. We also understand depreciation, right? That's, you know, sometimes you buy something and usually things like cars, you drive them off a lot and they're immediately depreciating. That we understand that in a worldly sense. But you know, in a relational sense, it's the same way. That to appreciate is to raise the value. It's not only true of things, it's true of people. How many have ever had your value raised because somebody told you something that was an appreciative word to you? And it just made you feel great. We've all had that, right? We all appreciate that. Who doesn't like to be appreciated? Maybe one of those words caught you completely off guard. That you didn't know that about you until someone said, you know, this is what I really appreciate about you. And you went, really? I never knew that. And suddenly your value has been raised in their eyes. God says that he wants us to develop an attitude of gratitude. To develop appreciation, because it raises each other's value. That's the only reason we really need as to why we should be thankful today. Everybody, I want you to say this with me. We need to appreciate people with our words. Would you say that with me? With our words. How many find it difficult to share appreciative words? Okay, a lot of us do. That's just honest, right? Some of us, I feel the appreciation. It's just hard to say it. Can I just help you out here this morning? Get over that. I know it's simple. It's just really kind of harsh and abrupt, but we gotta get over that. Because our words matter. Our words matter. Remember you were in a child, well at least my generation, when I was a child, remember sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Remember that? That's a bald-faced lie. It really is. Words hurt. Words damage. Words tear down. Words destroy. But on the opposite side, thankful words create. Thankful words build up. Thankful words raise the value. Thankful words can encourage and strengthen and motivate. Amen. They're powerful. Right now in our country, when there's a tremendous amount of division, racially, politically, and so on, you can think back to the 1960s. And I was fairly young then and didn't really understand the impact. But what a power of words, and then the demonstration of those words that started a civil rights movement that worked toward bringing more equality racially. And it was words. It was sermons. It was talks. It was someone saying, this is what's right and this is what's true. And people mobilized and it began to create change. Words are powerful. We need to use our words. Amen? We need to use our words. William James said this, the deepest principle in human nature is the craving to be appreciated. Now, whether or not it's actually the deepest principle, in William James' mind, he thought it was. But if it's not the greatest, it sure is powerful. And it sure is a deep craving to be appreciated. Mark Twain said this, I can go 2 months on one good compliment. That's so true. And a lot of us can be shattered with a harsh word for a long, long time as well. Why should we show an attitude of gratitude? Because it raises each other's value. And right now, we need to see a lot more appreciation and a lot less negativity. A lot less tearing down. A lot less ripping and tearing and shredding someone because they have a different opinion than we have. God's people have been called to raise up, to build up, to edify. Amen? Here's what I know about when children get hungry, they get cranky. Anybody know a kid like that? How many know kids like that that are 40? Yeah, we get cranky when we're hungry. Well, you know what? It's the same in the spirit. When our spirits get hungry for appreciation, we get cranky too. We get cynical, we get critical, we get negative. And a lot of times it's just that we're starving for someone to say, hey, would you just notice me? Would somebody tell me I'm worth something? We can do that, not only at Thanksgiving time, but in every day. Well, what should I say thanks for? What should I thanks for? There's three things I want to bring up. Number one is we should appreciate people's loyalty. Think right now of the people that have been loyal to you. They've just stuck with you. They may not have ever been the grandstander or the one in the spotlight or someone that everybody notices or some, you know, great figure. The thing that's really, really important to you about them is they just stayed. Isn't that important? Everybody has people like that, I hope. Right now, I want to just take a quick pause and just tell you about some people because they're in a really celebration mode right now. That Sandra and I came to the church here in 1985, and I think it was maybe 86 or 87 when Don and Beth Pearson came to the church. And now, 30 some odd years later, still here. And I watched their baby girl get born. I didn't watch it literally, physically in the room. I was here to welcome Elizabeth into the world. And I just want us to celebrate the people that have stayed because yesterday Elizabeth got engaged. And that's pretty awesome. That's a fascinating thing. And some people want to say, Pastor, does that make you feel old? No, I feel great. Because of the awesome privilege to watch the people that stay and that they have children and those children grow and then they get married and then they'll have their kids. And what a privilege of that to be able to live life with people over the course of the years. There are some that stay. Are you thankful for people's loyalty? Maybe you went through a terrible job change where it disrupted your whole life. Maybe you went through worse, a sickness. Maybe there was a marital issue. Whatever the thing might have been, there were those people who were just there. Remember those people? Maybe they're with you right now. Maybe they didn't change everything. Maybe they didn't come with some miraculous, you know, answer to your need. What you really needed was just somebody to be there, and they were. Loyalty is a really, really important thing. How many of you remember or have heard of Old Faithful in Yellowstone? Okay, some of you have some. It's a geyser that just regularly erupts. You know what? Old Faithful is not the biggest. Old Faithful is not the most spectacular. There are a lot of other, you know, wonders of the world that are way, way better than that. But you know why people like Old Faithful? It just keeps spouting off. It just keeps doing it. Every time you go there, you know what you're going to get. It's constant. It's faithful. Who are the people right now that are faithful to you? Who are those people? You know, this Thanksgiving season, we've learned that we need to use our words. And I want you right now, even in your outline, to write down the name or a couple of names of people that have been just there with you over the long haul. And tell them thank you this holiday season. Paul had some people like that. In the Bible, in the Philippians, it says, I thank God every time I think of you because of the way in which you've helped me in the work and the gospel. Get this. From the very first day until now, both now that I am in prison and also while I was free, the Philippian people were loyal. Said, you've been with me from the beginning until now. You were with me when I was free, and now that I'm in prison, you're still with me. Circumstances didn't change us. You were loyal, and you stayed by me. Think about that person in your life or those people in your life right now. Write their names. Determine. Go talk to them. Send them an email. Write them a handwritten letter. And just tell them why you're thankful that they were loyal. Number two, we need to appreciate each other's differences. You say that? Appreciate each other's differences. We need this really, really in a grand way right now. Because we've got a lot of differences in our world and in our nation. Not just their loyalty, but their differences. Here's what the Bible says. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. Now, this is referring to members of one body. If you read other parts of Scripture, especially 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about that the body to function, that the members have to be different. You have to be, or you don't survive. What if our bodies were just like one big eye? I know, it's kind of freaky. It's like, whoa. Now, eyes are good. Eyes are really good. But we need to eat. And we need to walk. And we need to touch. And we need to hear. As great as eyes are, we need differences to really have a full and healthy life. We can't all just be feet. We might be able to go places, but we can't do much else. We've got to be different. To be healthy. Differences are great. Differences are powerful. Differences are important for us. We're members of one body, and for the body to be healthy, we have to be different. It's necessary, and it's good. How boring would it be if everyone was like you? As great as you are. To have everybody cookie cutter, look the same, act the same, dress the same, same sense of humor. We'd just be missing all the spice. I'm not a foodie, but I sure like to eat it. And when a good cook puts all those ingredients in and they're all different to make that wonderful, wonderful dish. Can we thank God for our differences? We have to. And we have to thank each other and appreciate each other for their differences. How many have found that that in your marriage you've realized that the person you love with all your heart is very different from you? And doesn't that make it great? You're not sure how to respond to that, are you? You're not really sure if it is great. I get that. I like it warm and toasty. In the summertime, I've got a comforter on my bed. Sandra thinks I'm insane. We have the door open, the fan on. She's got all the covers pushed over, and she lumps them in the middle of our bed. I call it the Great Wall of China. Because there's a stack of covers in the bed, and I'm just all snuggly as ever. I'm feeling good. I like to get up a little slower, start the day a little slow, kind of meander around, kind of get ramped up mid-morning, and then stay out late. That's what I like. I think she was born to be a Marine. She wants to get everything done before 9 or 10 a.m. And we went on vacation the last 2 weeks, and she's going, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And I go, baby, come on, we're on vacation. We're different that way. We don't understand each other and how we think, but it's true. So I need, when we have conversation, conversation to me is like two sentences. And I'm good. I don't need to talk about it anymore. She needs to talk it through. And that's not bad. She just needs to. I think there's a support group for people like Sandra, and it's called On and On and On. Just so you're aware, it's okay. We've already talked. It's a joke in our home. Okay, it's a joke. For those of you who think, yeah, she's going to be real thankful for you this season. It's just we're different. Some of you like to spend money. Some of you like to save money. And if you're in a marriage, sometimes that can get tough. If you're the saver, maybe, you know, when your spouse is saying, yeah, when the tough get going, the tough go to the mall. That's what they do. Or maybe even in your romantic relationship, sometimes it gets really difficult in the differences romantically. That maybe you're a romantic firecracker and your partner's just kind of a dud. And that your timing and your moods are a little bit different and so on. I remember a story of a man who came home from work and he met his wife in the kitchen. He handed her 2 aspirin. And she said, what's that for? And he said, well, that's for your headache. And she said, well, I don't have a headache. And he says, aha. You see, we're different. It doesn't make us better or worse. It does. Some of you are going to try that, aren't you? It doesn't make us better or worse. It doesn't make us more valuable or less valuable. Get it. Say it together. We are different.
We are different.
And I'm thankful for our differences.
And I'm thankful for our differences.
We got to remember that. True? It brings spice to our life and it sharpens us because we really, really are different. I want you to think about someone who's different right now. That didn't come out quite right. Think about someone in your life that you know has different qualities than you do. And think about how special that is and how much it makes a difference in your life. Write that name down. And then take the time to say, you know, I'm so thankful for you. You're not like me, and because you're not like me, you make my life more fun. You make my life more festive. You make my life more spicy. Whatever it is, thank them. Use your words and say, I'm thankful for our differences. Third thing we should be thankful for, this is one we often overlook, and that's to be thankful for people's effort. Thankful for people's effort. Sometimes we overlook people when they've tried really hard. And we can overlook it when the results don't necessarily work out. I have back here these two little pen holders. And many of you parents have these. How many have pen holders that your kids made in preschool? I have mine. They're right here. These were Audrey didn't make one, but this is Laura's and this is Eric's. And if you can see it closely, Eric obviously had help writing dad on his because it's actually legible. But they let him write his own name, and I'm not so sure how that came out. But I can see it, but it's just, you know what? This is not perfect. It's not, according to the world's view, beautiful. If you saw this at a flea market, nobody would pick it up and buy it. But if you come to my office and mess with my can holders, you're dead meat. My pen holders, I mean. Because these are the product of effort. They're the effort of a young child wanting to love their father and wanting to give a gift that in their heart and their mind was the best they had. And that effort is praiseworthy. It doesn't matter the results. No one is going to put this in an art gallery. But don't mess with my pen holders. This is important to me because it came from my children and it came from the effort of their hearts. A lot of people spend a lot of effort and sometimes they get overlooked. Scripture says this, we always thank God for all of you. We continually remember before God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor produced by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Have we taken the time to thank people for the work that they've done? My kids are pretty much all grown now. The youngest is 21. And so we've done a lot of work with them. But, you know, as I raised my kids, I appreciated my parents more. Everybody get that? When you're raising yours, you suddenly realize the late nights and the financial sacrifice and the time sacrifices and the worry and the prayer and all that goes into that. And I appreciate those that raised me now. Their life would have been a lot easier without me in their life. My parents like to tell a story. When I was a little guy, my dad was a painting contractor, and he had a white pickup truck. And they like to tell the story about when I was a child, and somehow I got into the back of the pickup truck, maybe 5-4 years old, and was able to open a can of paint. And it was green, and I just really thought that that white pickup truck would look a lot better green. Well, okay, he corrected me. He said it was red. I thought it was green. I heard the story wrong. But why wouldn't a white truck look better red? I think that's a good idea. My parents laugh about that now because they really understood that in the heart of a child, it was an effort, even though he had a mess on his hands and had to clean that all up. You get it, don't you? That regardless of the results, is there someone in your life that you can say thank you for the effort? For the effort. That might be your parents. It might be a sibling. It might be someone who has worked alongside you. It might be a boss. It might be an employee. But someone that's put in effort in your life and an effort in your relationship. Maybe it's someone who is the one who always calls you. And you realize maybe you wouldn't have a friendship if that person hadn't kept it alive. I've got a couple of people in my life like that. That they seem to always call and always call. And I'm so thankful they did. And now I'm learning to reciprocate a lot better. Be thankful for someone who's been loyal to you. Thankful for someone who is different than you. And thankful for someone who's given effort into your life. And those aren't often things that we think about. Well, how should we say thanks? How should we say thanks? First of all, your thankfulness needs to be real. Your thankfulness needs to be real. In other words, it needs to be genuine, heartfelt. Real means that there's no ulterior motive. You've been thanked maybe before or had someone express to you appreciation, right? And you knew that it was not necessarily for you, but it was for them. Someone has said, watch out when someone pats you on the back because they might want you to cough something up. And you know what I mean, right? That they're wanting something from you. If you've ever been with a salesman, and the salesmen always have nice compliments for you. Oh, that's a nice, you know, outfit you've got on. Oh, I like the way you've done your hair. Oh, where'd you get that? Oh, it's nice, 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 nice. They're just buttering you up. They want to sell you. God's not calling us to be salesmen. He's calling us to be thankful and to offer people real, sincere, genuine thankfulness. Beware of flattery, that it's not appreciation. Appreciation is for the benefit of the other person. Flattery is for your own benefit. Flattery is that you want something from them. You want to date that girl, so you're going to tell her all these things that you know she wants to hear just so that you can get what you want. You want to flatter that person so that you can make the sale and get what you want. That's not real appreciation. Real appreciation has no strings attached. The scripture says, encourage one another and build each other up. Period. With no ulterior motives in mind. So your thankfulness has to be real. Number two, your thankfulness has to be recognizable. Now that might sound strange to you, but it has to be recognizable. Have you ever had somebody compliment you and you weren't sure it was a compliment? You ever had that happen? Maybe you look at the person like that. And sometimes you get a look like this after you've tried to make a compliment. Maybe your compliment may have sounded like this. Wow, that perfume doesn't smell bad at all. You kind of know what they meant to say, but how about those pants look way better on you than the old ones did? Something like that. Or, wow, you're not as heavy as you used to be. Or, you look great for a pregnant lady. You know those weird compliments? That they didn't, they were meant to be nice. They were meant to be appreciative, but they didn't quite come out right. Let's just take time to think about our words and to make sure that what we're saying is right. And it's not only genuine, but it's recognizable. Here's what scripture says. Proverbs. A person finds joy in giving an apt reply. And how good is a timely word? Timing and the right words matter. Think it through. That's why it's important to think. I'm going to think this through, and I'm going to really express appreciation for someone that's important to me. And last, your thankfulness needs to be regular. Regular. Well, I told her I loved her when we got married. She already knows. Why do I have to keep telling her? Well, because you want to build her up. You want to appreciate and raise the person's value. It needs to be regular. How many know that you get told once, but after a while, that our emotional love tank leaks? Doesn't it? We need to be told over and over and over again. And it should be a blessing to be able to do that because we want to build each other up. Here's one thing I know. There's one time in our existence when thankfulness is at its most wonderfully expressed. Anybody take a guess on when that is? At a funeral. At a funeral. You've been to funerals, right? And that person is gone. And suddenly, everybody's got these wonderfully lavish words to pour out on the person who's not even there. Isn't it better to give a bouquet while we're still alive than a single rose? Let's be thankful now before the time's passed. Let's not wait for memorial service to tell the people how much we love them and how they meant what they meant to us and how their words and their effort and their loyalty and their differences meant to us. Tell them now. Tell them now while you still have them with you. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says we ought always to thank God for you. That's regular. Always to thank God for you. For each one of you. As we wrap up this morning, why are we talking about all this today? Yes, it's Thanksgiving season. But you know, the attitude of gratitude is not seasonal. It ought to be constant. Amen? Amen. Every day. This says be thankful always to God and for people. Think about the ones in your life right now that you want to raise their value and appreciate them because they've been loyal to you. They're different than you. Thank God that they put forth effort to be with you. And they're there. Remember to be genuine, to be real. And let your Thanksgiving be recognizable. And let it be regular. I know without a shadow of a doubt, you'll find yourself always with friends. How many like to hang out with people that are always thankful? I do. I had one of our ladies this morning just say thanks to me, Mona. And I said, man, I'll hang around with you all day long. You keep telling me nice things like that. We're all like that. We love to be appreciated. But you know what, church? Sometimes in all of our thankfulness, we get thanking each other. But there's a God that we ought to be thankful for more than anything else. The children said it so well today. I don't understand everything about God. I surely don't. But there's one thing I do understand, and that's that God, the creator of the universe, wanted me to know him. And the only way for him to get me to know him would be to come take on human form. Because I don't understand spirit, and I don't know how to connect with that realm. God knew my frailties and my thinking, and he came to earth and he took on human form. I can understand that. I can understand another human being. And God says, I want you to know what I'm like. That God in flesh had a name. The name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus walked this earth for 30 years in basic obscurity, being faithful. And then for 3 years, he began to teach, and he taught about the kingdom of God, and he taught about the love of God the Father. And he demonstrated that love by serving and giving and caring both the outcast and the ones in palaces. He loved people, and he said to us, go and do likewise. And ultimately, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to a cross for the purpose of us being able to have our sins forgiven. And I'm so thankful that I can stand here today and say there is a God who has been faithful, who has stayed, who knows my efforts are frail, but yet he still loves me and he still wants to be in a relationship with me. And I'm so thankful because I don't deserve that. But he's provided it anyway. And he's available to be known today. And you might say, Pastor, I don't understand any of that stuff. I don't understand about sin and the cross and all of that. I don't understand that. Here, then just understand this. God is real. He loves you. You can know him. And it's as simple as starting your own thankful search to know God. Because God says, when you seek me, you will find me. It's really hard to find something if you're not looking for it. God says, seek me, you'll find me. I'd like us to bow our heads this morning and pray and thank God for what he's done for us. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name for the people in this room, the people that have been so loyal, and we're all different. And we work hard. And I praise you for this church family. And I praise you for the friends that were brought today. Each of those friends means something very deeply to the person that brought them. And I thank you, Lord, for each one of them. They're special. Lord, to you, we're all special. Enough so that you went and died on a cross in our place. So that we could have our sins forgiven. And we need that so desperately. For one day we're going to have to face you. And there's going to be an accounting. And I want to hear you say, Lord, welcome, good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear you say, I never knew you. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us today. To be thankful for each other, but most importantly, to be thankful for you and what you've done for us. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'd like to give you the opportunity this morning not to be embarrassed, not to come up front, not to make a spectacle of you, but simply to give you the chance to say, I think I want to start my search for God. He made me. He made everything that is. I'm so thankful for him. And if that's you here today, just by slipping up a hand and saying, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to start my search for God today. Thank you. I see you. You can put that hand down. Appreciate it. Others, join this person. Today I want to start that journey. Slip up a hand. Wait till I notice it. You can put it back down. Father, I thank you for this person that raised their hand this morning. I give you praise, Father, that you are the God who loves them. And that today, on the occasion of this decision, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would begin to fill them with your love. For others, Father, that may not have raised their hand for whatever reason, but their heart is drawn to you, that God, you would also begin to speak to them in a real way right now. Lord, I give you praise. And thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. If you raised your hand or if you wish you had, at the end of service today, there'll be some people up in the front. And we'll have already dismissed the service, so we're not going to ask you to go up in front of everybody else. It's just kind of the mingle time. That find your way to one of these groups of people and just ask them to pray with you. You can just simply say, you know, I responded to that prayer this morning or that invitation, and I want to start my journey. Would you pray with me? And let those people up at the front pray with you. Here's what I know. If we're thankful people, we can change the world. Amen? We can. So let's go out and change the world with thanksgiving this week. God bless.